It's clear there is no vision in Europe, there is no policy, at least no coherent policy.
Some legislators support Albanese's call for dual EU-Israeli nationals to be investigated upon re-entering the bloc, a measure previously applied to suspected foreign fighters returning from Daesh-controlled areas.
Was immediately, oh, this is a potential terrorist because he was fighting in the Middle East, and now it's completely silence. I mean, the right wing, although they always talk about security and how to watch the borders so that no terrorists come inside, now they receive with open hands.
Albanese told the committee that the EU should suspend all ties with Israel except those required to enforce international court rulings against Tel Aviv. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Braving the autumn chill, people across Indian-administered Kashmir gathered in large numbers on Tuesday to mark the martyrdom anniversary of Hazrat Fatima Zahra, the revered daughter of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. The Tuesday event concluded week-long ceremonies in Kashmir and the neighbouring border area of Kargil, which featured religious gatherings, scholarly conferences and mourning processions to honour Hazrat Fatima.
Hazrat Fatima exemplifies the highest standards of behavior as a daughter, wife and mother. Her life stands as a timeless model of virtue for every generation. Although she lived only 18 years, her spiritual closeness to God earned her the title of Leader of the Women of Paradise.
Mourners emphasize that Hazrat Fatima's immense contribution to Islam is often overlooked, particularly in the West due to persistent misconceptions about women's rights and status in Islamic tradition.
Islam uniquely advocates gender equality and firmly protects women's rights. In an era where society increasingly commodifies women, the teachings and example of Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, are more relevant than ever, offering a complete model of dignity and respect. Her moral integrity, humility and devotion make her unique among all women.
Speakers recalled Prophet Muhammad's profound love for his daughter, affection that directly challenged the norms of pre-Islamic Arabia, where daughters were frequently devalued.
Hazrat Fatima possessed qualities beyond description. She was a divine personality and a fountainhead of guidance and piety. Our holy prophet's love and respect for his daughter was so profound that it would stand up in her honor. Her unwavering defense of justice and rightful leadership reflects her commitment to truth, integrity, and the rights of the oppressed.
The speakers urged people to study Hazrat Fatima's life more deeply and draw inspiration from her patience, piety, and unwavering faith, saying her legacy remains a guiding light for Muslim women and a model of steadfastness and spiritual excellence.
As Kashmir joined the global Muslim community in remembering Hazrat Fatima Zahra, scholars and participants describe her as a timeless role model whose humility, strength and devotion continue to guide Muslims across generations. Sayyidri Safir, Indian Administered Kashmir.
Iran Supreme National Security Council Ali Larajani arrived in Pakistan on Monday. His visit marks a significant step in the ongoing efforts by both countries to consolidate cooperation amid heightened regional tensions. Shortly after his arrival, Larajani met Prime Minister Shehbaz Sharif, President Asif Ali Zardari, Deputy Prime Minister Ishaq Dar, and other high-ranking officials and think tank heads, engaging in wide-ranging discussions on bilateral ties and regional security. The discussions focused on expanding bilateral trade, with both sides reiterating their commitment to removing trade barriers, activating the barter trade mechanism, and expediting the Pakistan-Iran Free Trade Agreement. Larajani also praised Pakistan's support for Iran during the U.S.-Israeli aggression against the country earlier this year.
We discussed all key bilateral matters, especially how to expand our economic cooperation and strengthen trade. Pakistan is a true brotherly nation, and together we explored practical ways to deepen our security ties, enhance people-to-people contact, and coordinate our positions on major international issues.
Pakistani leadership underscored Islamabad's commitment to deepening political, economic, and security cooperation with Tehran.
We discussed all the regional, bilateral and global issues. It was a wonderful meeting. I'm grateful to my Brother Excellency for his visit and sparing time to meet with me. And we had very open discussion about all the issues which are currently being faced by the regional and the multilateral forums.
Observers say Larajani's visit signals a strategic recalibration in Iran's regional engagement after the June war with Israel. They say the visit also underscores Pakistan's rising relevance in Tehran's long-term vision, particularly in border security, regional trade, and balanced diplomacy in a volatile neighborhood.
We are proud of Iran's resistance. They have set a new example because they have shattered the myth of Israeli invincibility through the determination, through the will, and the fighting power of the Iranian nation. And we feel that Iran showed that imperialism, hegemony, Zionism, they say might is right, right is might. And they failed miserably in that.
Larajani is the second high-ranking Iranian official to visit Pakistan this month, after Parliament Speaker Mohammad Bakar Kalibaf.
The latest high-level meetings between the top officials of Iran and Pakistan show that the two neighbors are not only focused on boosting trade and economic partnerships, but also on developing coordinated mechanisms for regional peace and security. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
Thanks to Trump, European Commission insiders say an atmosphere of fear and uncertainty continues to hang over EU-US trade relations. Meeting on Monday, EU trade ministers agreed the bloc must broaden its commercial horizons and seek additional stable partners.
What we are working on continuously, that we have to diversify our trade. The commissioner gave us a state on ongoing negotiations with India and a number of other countries and regions in Asia, Middle East and Africa.
It emerged at Monday's meeting, attended by senior White House officials, that the EU has already paid €173 billion for US energy imports this year, much of it for costly liquefied natural gas shipped across the Atlantic. Those charges filter through industry and ultimately onto consumers. It's a stark contrast to the much cheaper Russian gas that once powered the EU. The head of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, struck a deal with Trump at his golf course in Scotland last July. He had been threatening 50% US tariffs on all EU imports, but in the end they settled on a baseline 15% levy. Now Washington officials are annoyed at the EU over its slow implementation of that deal. Punishing 50% US tariffs on EU steel and aluminium remain firmly in place. The current trade arrangements have drawn sharp criticism from inside the European Parliament.
Trump is the worst bully in the schoolyard. He picks on everyone. You should never give in to blackmail. The more money we promise to pour into the US, the more they will demand from us.
EU citizens are equally scathing of the current US administration.
I think it's just right now a pause maybe before, I know, like maybe then Trump decides to impose tariffs again or to increase them on us. And plus right now with the Ukraine plan, again, like the recently disclosed Ukraine plan, is going to be other tensions as well.
If Vance is taking the place of Trump because he's talking about that now, I think it's even more dangerous. And in a way, even if they go back and they will be less rude in a few years, I think the tune is set, if we can say this in English. I think it's very dangerous. Yeah, I think so.
Government leaders are being accused of surrendering far too much ground to Trump on trade, leaving millions of already struggling EU businesses and households to shoulder the cost. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Italian prosecutors will have to decide whether to put the suspects, who today are between 65 and 80 years old, on trial. They are suspected of voluntary murder aggravated by cruelty and abject motives, a crime which has no statute of limitations and carries a maximum life sentence.
Some political analysts believe that the whole Sarajevo sniper tourism affair can also be read through the lens of geopolitics. They suspect that there are governments who are trying to link Serbian President Aleksandar Vučić to the so-called sniper safaris that took place in Bosnia in the 1990s.
Sì, questo è un rischio che...
The risk that this affair is turned into a political tool clearly exists. Some may be eager to find political implications in these murders, but they would be wrong. Those were just criminal acts.
I think it could well be politicized because the information that we have at the moment is very murky indeed, and no concrete details are being given as to what is actually being investigated. Neither the numbers, nor the people involved, nor the countries involved.
During the Rome press conference, Gavazzeni also pointed out that Italy's military intelligence agency was aware of the abominable trips when they took place, but nothing was done to stop them. Max Civili, Rome.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا أو يهو بليس استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, it's now time for a short lecture by Sheikh Mahdi Rastani. In this session, he delves into the teachings of the book for the Hadith by Imam Khomeini, the founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This book is a profound exploration of ethical and mystical concepts in Islamic spirituality. Let's listen and reflect together.
Inshallah, we'll continue with the book of Imam al-Khomeini on the topic of 40 ahadith. And in today's khutbah, we're going to move on to the next chapter of the book, and that is the chapter of at-tawbah, or repentance. Narrations tell us that when tawbah and the idea of tawbah and the concept of tawbah was brought for the children of Adam, the first to show his frustration and his anger as this was none but shaitan. Because this makes it too easy for you and I. Supposedly, it gives him no shot at this point. Because a human being can commit sins his whole life, and only if he gets to his heart before the heart is fully consumed, he repents, then he has a way out of it. And shaitan in that narration says, this is too easy. This is not possible. This is not fair. It's not a fair game. Yes? This is for us who sit back and say, oh, shaitan tricks us all the time. Yes, but the door of tawbah is open all the time too. No, it's more difficult for him actually than it is for us if we put in that effort. He continues, he says, but if this human being doesn't get to his heart before the heart is fully consumed by these black spots, these black dots, what happens to him? He completely forgets about tawbah at this point. Tawbah is not even a thing in his mind. Carries on with life, commits sins, the guilt isn't even there to push him. The guilt isn't even there to bother him. This nafs al-lawama is completely unraveled at this point. He continues with life, and this is what shaitan likes to see. A person who sins, and then he walks away as if nothing happened. It's no big deal. Don't stress. Don't bother yourself. That's what shaitan wants. As if it reaches this point, then this person reaches a point where even when he does think about tawbah, this part is for you and I, even when he does think about tawbah, shaitan just tells him, you don't have to do it today, tomorrow. When you get older, next year, next Ramadan, next Muharram, well, you broke your heart tonight. You broke her heart tonight. You broke his heart tonight. You yelled at your children. You yelled at your parents. You, whatever we did. Yes? You did it tonight. But you know what shaitan will tell you? Tawbah has to be on a big night. You wait 3 months from now. Muharram. That's when you repent to God. No, you repent to God now. That's last resort. It's last resort. Ramadan is last resort that the narration says, if you come, Arafah, last resort. They say, if you come and you're not forgiven on this day, then you're seriously in trouble. That's last resort. You committed this sin now, you repent now. By then, God knows how much your heart is going to become hard. God knows how much my heart is going to become qasi, as narrations say. The heart becomes hard. When the heart becomes hard, he is no longer affected by the words of God. Verses of Quran he hears doesn't have an effect because his heart is hard now. It's become qaswa. And the narration says, the verses of the Quran say, some hearts are harder than rock, Surah Al-Baqarah says. It says, some hearts are harder than rock. Surah Baqarah says beautifully. It says, some rocks, this is an analogy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using, it says, some rocks, they're really hard, it's a rock. But sometimes, because of natural events that happen, this heart, this rock will break open. And water will run through it. You've seen sometimes, if a waterfall is going, the rock is there. After 10 years, 15 years, what happens to this rock? Eventually, it makes way for the water. And the Quran says, there are hearts that are harder than that rock. Because there are hearts out there that for 10, 15 years, this guidance, this water of guidance will pour on them, but they won't crack. They will just be what they are. This is who I am. God likes it, He likes it. Doesn't like it, that's not my problem. This is what happens to the human being who doesn't repent immediately. And we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. This is why the Quran says, وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا. Nobody knows what they're going to be doing tomorrow. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٌ. And no one has any idea where they'll leave this world from, where their death will take place. I'm going to go on this trip. When I come back, I'll change things. I'm going to go on this trip. When I come back, I'll apologize. I'm going to go visit this. I'm going to go to work today. When I get back from work, then I'll apologize. Then I'll repent. Then I'm going to change things. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٌ. Who said you're going to come back? Who said you will make it back from this trip? Who said you will make it back after this conversation? It's tawbah is now. He says if the human being reaches this point where he constantly is telling himself, tomorrow, the day after, a year from now, he says this is an example. This line is very powerful and it's scary. He says this is an example of the one who is doing makr with Allah. He's playing games with God. Quran says, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ. Yes? They plan and plot. We plan and plot too. Imam Khomeini says one of the examples of the human being plotting and planning with Allah is where he plays this game with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe a year from now. Maybe 5 years from now. And he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not take it well when the human being starts to do makr with him. When the human being starts to play games with him. And this is why the verse says, وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. And Allah is the greatest of all of the, those who plan. You start playing this game with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then the consequences come. And this is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what the Quran has told us very clearly. So he continues. He says, فَيَا أَيُّهَا الْعَزِيزِ. My dear loved one, كُنَ عَلَى حَذَرٍ مِّن مَكَايدِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Be wary and protect yourself from the plots and plans of shaytan. You think it was your idea to wait 6 months before you apologize. That's not your idea. This is shaytan's idea. He whispered it into your mind and then he gave you the idea that it was your idea. You think you're smart. You think you can play with God. You think you're smarter than him. You're not smarter than him. You think you have these genius ideas, and the Quran says those who are buddies with shaytan, يُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ. He reveals thoughts to them. And they think, this was my idea. And they don't know their buddy Shaytan was revealing this idea to them. This is word by word what the Quran says. يُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ. He reveals to them. He says, كُنَ عَلَى حَذَرٍ مِّن مَكَايَدِ الشَّيْطَانِ وَلَا تَمْكُرْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Do not plot and plan against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You say, but I'm not plotting against him. I'm not going to war with him. When you sin, when I sin and I don't repent, you are in a constant state of war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lack of tawbah means you are keeping yourself in a state of what? If disobedience and, objection towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I didn't take a sword, try to kill his people. You don't need to do that. When you sit in this side, you say, I committed the sin, I broke her heart, I broke his heart, and I'm not repenting from it. Every second you breathe, you're breathing in the tents of shaytan. If you imagine lines, two sides to this battlefield, you're on the wrong side as long as you haven't repented. He says, this is tamkur. وَلَا تَحْتَالَ عَلَيْهِ. Don't try to plan against him. بِأَنْ تَقُولَ عَيْشَ 50 عَامًا أَوْ أَكْثَرَ مَعَ الْأَهْوَى ثُمَّ أَسْتَغْفِرُ رَبِّي. That you say, I'm going to live 50, 60, 70 years, and then I'm going to repent. This is you plotting and planning against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why should we do this when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us opportunity after opportunity? And take a look at these narrations in which these narrations show us the multiple opportunities Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the human being. I've always said, this idea that we read the verses of the Quran and we say, why doesn't God give them a second chance? What second chance? Allah gave them 1,000 chances. Allah gives you a chance every day. Allah gives you a chance every second. He gives me a chance every second. Every second we're breathing is a chance. Who said God gave you one chance for you to now ask for a second chance? He gave you more chances that you can count. Then yes, when he sees that he's given you hundreds of chances and thousands of chances, then it doesn't make sense for him to give you another chance. If he gave you another chance, you would sit there and say, Ya Allah, you're not wise. You already know who this person is. It's not even compatible with his wisdom. To then on the day when they're taking you from this world and we all say, God forbid, لعلي أعمل صالحا. Take me back so I can do something good. You and I sit there and say, why doesn't God give them a second chance? God gave them 2 million chances. You're asking for 2 million and one? Well, the Quran has answered this question already. And the Quran has already said, كَلَّا إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا. This is just something he's saying. He doesn't believe in it. And if we were to take him back, إِنَّكُمْ عَائِدُونَ, you would go back to doing the same stuff you were doing before. Well, how does God know? How is he saying this? Because he did gave you this opportunity 2 million times and you went back to doing the same thing. He puts you through difficulty and you saw the difficulty and you still went back to doing the same thing. He puts you through an accident, God forbid, and then you went back to doing the same thing. You saw the consequences that happened in this world. And then what do you do? What did I do? I went back to doing the same thing. So the Quran says, إِنَّكُمْ عَائِدُونَ. You're going to return back to doing the same thing.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
A diverse range of programs. Youth, spirituality, culture, Eastern tales, roundtable discussions, politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Tehran is a megacity with a population of around 13 million people. It's a modern city with a modern architecture. Flats and high-rise buildings rule the whole city. From the outside, it's quite dense and all the houses look the same. But from the inside, well, let's go and see what makes the architecture of some of the buildings quite different from the rest. For some of the architects in the country, building a structure is not just about keeping up with the latest architectural trends. It's more about building a house that adapts with the functional needs of its users. Let's take a look at this one.
This is the Sharifiha house, a flexible structure with three turning boxes or rooms that can be rotated 90 degrees to open up the terrace during hot summers and turned back to a horizontal position to keep the house warmer during the cold, snowy winters. Ali Taghabouni is the mastermind behind the creation. He was inspired by the country's traditional houses, which offered both a winter and a summer living room for the residents.
we're going to see another house. It's basically a childhood dream come true. An eco-friendly house that will certainly blow your mind away.
A portable house made from wood and built in just 3 days. 72 pieces to be precise. 36 parts for the roof and 36 for the body, all fastened with screws. It's not one of the usual houses that you see each day. It's a house that connects you to nature and makes you feel calm and restful, undisturbed from the outside world. Abbas Iftikhari is the architect of this house, who has been living here with his family ever since it was built. He has studied industrial design, restoration of historic monuments and interior design, and he has been teaching them all in the university for 18 years. Mr. Iftikhari told me that wood is a naturally grown and engineered material which contributes to an overall removal of greenhouse gases from the atmosphere. At the same time, it's structurally strong and acts as a natural insulator due to the air pockets within its cellular structure. The family's sand clock was also interesting to see. Mr. Iftikhari explained to me that as the sun moves across the sky, the shadow aligns with different hour lines which are marked on the dial to indicate the time of the day. Every nook and corner of the house was also filled with different wooden sculptures, and as we understood, Abbas Iftikhari has a hand in sculpting too.
It's a dreamy experience, rubbing your hands on the different shapes of wood and smelling the woody fragrance and looking at the colourful, delicate veins as they each tell you their life story.
We live in a world constantly surrounded by technology. Maybe it's about time we got in touch with Mother Nature, becoming environmentally aware and reconnecting with the energy of the universe. Hoda Lezgi for Iran. Quran Quest, a program on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and my guest speaker, Sayyid Abdullah. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me, brother.
You're welcome. We have been starting a series of discussions, including questions and answers in this program, Quran Quest, on IRIB English Radio, regarding the 23rd chapter of the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Mu'minun, or chapter The Faithful, or Believers. Well, we went from, the first few verses of this chapter talking about, or actually God explains and describes some of the qualities of the believers, or the most important ones, as the pillars, so that we can, make judgment and assess whether somebody can be counted in the camp of the believers or the faithful or not. And then it moves on to the story of the creation, right? And we have reached the 16th verse so far. But to give you a bit of a context or set the stage for, verses to come after 16, we need to also focus a little bit on the verse number 15. Let's take a listen to a few verses of this chapter, Surah Al-Mu'minun, or chapter The Faithful, and we come back after a short break. Stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. Then indeed, after that, you are to die. Then indeed, you, on the day of resurrection, will be resurrected. We have created above you seven layered heavens, and never have we been of our creation unaware.
Welcome back to the program Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and my guest speaker, Sayyid Abdullah. Started discussing the first few verses of the 23rd chapter of the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Mu'minun, or chapter The Faithful, with you, Sayyid, and you gave us a bit of introduction into the whole chapter, as well as the first few verses up until 16 so far. Let's continue with our quest, actually, in this program, Quran Quest, on IRIB English Radio, with the verse number 15, because, as I said before the break, I think we need to pause a little bit on it to set the stage to go forward. God says, then indeed you die after that, right? After the story of the creation, and yes. Then it moves on. Then you will indeed be raised up on the day of resurrection. Let's go back to number 15 and say, what does God mean by then you indeed you die after that? Let's talk about death and pause about it, right?
Sure. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we've read in the previous verses, he talks about the stages of the creation of a human being and how he reaches his perfection.
Yes.
Up until here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that after you've been created in different forms, in different ways, your perfection doesn't stop. It continues. So even after death, ثُمَّ إِنَّكُمْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ لَمَيْتُونَ, there's also a pause, as we said, in time, ثُمَّ, then, so which indicates a time period left
a
behind.
Time gap
between creation itself and death itself, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, even dying, in the process of death, you still going to work towards your perfection.
Mm-hmm.
Now, which might sound weird to people, how do you work for perfection while you're dead? Mm-hmm. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after we die, and a lot of people assume that death is an end, which is like a misconception or misunderstanding of death. Death is just...
Of course, the theist wouldn't have that kind of comprehension of life, right? Only the materialist.
Even deists, it's the same thing, because it's the problem is death is a topic that not a lot of people like to discuss.
Yeah.
And therefore, if you tell anyone now, we say dying, to them, like, now subconsciously, to them, dying is an end. They're going to finish.
Yeah.
That's it. Now, they do know there's a world after that. They do know there's a punishment, reward, and what have you. But technically speaking, when you talk about death, khalas, it means an end. I'm not going to move any further.
There's a psychological discussion to this, especially the father of psychology, for God's sake. I mean, Sigmund Freud, let me quote him. He said that it is not the death in and of itself that people are afraid of. They're scared of something else. They're frightened of what happens after it.
Yeah, the unknown.
Yeah.
Right, because
the unknown.
Yeah,
exactly.
So because I'm not aware of what's going to happen, and that's always scary. If I send you to a different place, you don't know anything about it. Naturally, you're going to feel afraid.
Exactly. Like darkness. People are afraid of dark places, right?
Dark places. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like I said,
it's unknown, as you mentioned.
Yeah. So a lot of people assume that when they die, they're going to go inside a hole, black hole, and they're going to get buried, and they're going to get stuck there.
Yeah.
That's just like
a decompose.
Yeah. This is just a very primitive. A way of looking at
it.
Death is not an end. Rather, death is just a gateway to a different world.
A portal.
So in order for you to go to a different world, you have to go through the process of death, and your soul gets extracted, and you just move to a different place.
Mm.
Now, what we've been told is that what we need to worry about, unlike Sigmund Freud said, what we've been told is that we need to be afraid of our own deeds.
Yes, exactly.
Now, a person who's always been doing good, and he's good, and righteous and everything else, he has nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
Actually, the righteous people, they love dying. Because like Imam Ali alayhi salam constantly says, he says, I love death as much as a child loved the milk from his mother.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because the dunya itself,
is a farm, and you actually reap what you sow.
Exactly. That's one aspect of it. The other aspect of it is for a mu'min, for a true believer, it's a prison.
Mm.
Like, You can't do much.
Yeah, you can't do much. Yeah.
Yeah. So I need to go to a better place, which is the barzakh or heaven.
Oh.
So a mu'min always looks forward to death, and then mu'min like me, I'm afraid. Like, I'm materialistic in my nature. I'd like to stay here. I like to have my house, my wife, my kids, my cars, and
attachments.
I have a lot of attachments, and we don't want to leave these attachments.
Mm.
Interestingly, I read recently a hadith. Is that says the mu'mineen, the true believers, when the angel of death comes to them, he actually gives them a choice.
Mm.
It's like, okay, you can go with us or you can stay. It's like he says that the Malik al-Maut, the angel of death, does not force the believers to leave this world, to die.
Yeah.
He gives them a choice, but he also shows them what they will be looking forward to.
Nice.
So when they see
they're going to rush there.
Yeah, like, no, we don't want to go back at all. Take us right now. And so they...
But this is a choice only given or offered to the faithful, right?
To only faithful, yes.
Only the faithful.
Only the faithful.
Okay, I think it's a very good place to take a break, and then we'll come back after the break and continue our program, Quran Quest, on IRIB English Radio. Stay tuned.
You are listening to Quran Quest on Iran Radio.
Welcome back to the program Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and my guest speaker, Syed Abdullah. We are discussing 23rd chapter of the Quran, Surah Al-Mu'minun, or Chapter the Faithful. And specifically, we just talked about, or before the break, we talked about verse number 15. Actually, we focused on the subject of death. which is somehow unknown, scary, frightening enough to some, but very interesting and, you know, which we call it, attractive to the faithful. Mm. As you mentioned before the break, this choice is given by even the Malak al-Maut, according to the hadith you, you know, narrated. Well, let's move on to the next verse, which is number 16. Then you will indeed be raised up on the day of resurrection. Well, there are lots of people, as you mentioned before the break, whether they are materialist, atheist, or even theist, like in nature, as you said, some people, in fact, they believe in God, but they just pay a lip service to that. You know, they are not practicing theist. But when it comes to their deeds and actions, they, you know, follow a different path, basically, right? So after death, how is it possible? I think this is a valid question raised by even the atheist. Mm. When they say, how can you? Because we have numerous verses of the Quran mentioning or quoting the atheists, the materialists, the pagans, the non-believers, questioning the Holy Prophet or the prophets before him. Mm. Like, how can you raise, for example, somebody who's dead?
Mm.
So this is a valid question. How is it possible? Like, how does God answer this question?
Like you said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers these questions in many ways. So there's this time where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, a person comes to him with a bone, right? Yes. Like a very rotten, decomposed bone, and he turns it to dust.
Mm.
And he says, how does Allah create, bring that back to life? Allah says in the Quran, in chapter Yasin, he answers this question.
Mm.
He's like, Allah has created you from nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, which is harder?
Yeah.
To create something out of nothing or something from something that is actually remaining?
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if you have a bone of someone, like even scientifically now, you can take their DNA and you can reconstruct their DNA. Like that's what the whole movie of Jurassic World is based on, right?
Blockbusters do that.
Yeah, so they find the DNA of a dinosaur and then reconstruct to bring it back to life.
Academically speaking or scientifically speaking, we are not there yet, right?
We will be there eventually because obviously
cloning something from the
cloning
past.
From a DNA. Yeah. So eventually they said they might. I don't know.
Right.
They're not going to tell you everything, but eventually we're going to get there. That's all I know, right? So Allah's saying, which one is more harder, to create something out of nothing or to bring something that was already created?
Yeah, obviously.
So Allah's saying, we've created you. It's much easier for us to bring you back.
Yeah.
After you've died because you've already been created, then rather than, you know, just making it out of thin air.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can make it from thin air, then be sure I can bring you back into life from these bones that have decomposed. Mm-hmm. Allah will reconstruct everything back into place, and then you will show up. Mm-hmm. Again, Allah gives us a classical example of Uzair. Amatahu Allah mi'ata 'aman. He, for 100 years, died, decomposed, and all his body and his bone got decomposed. Then he brought back. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what he did with Uzair was interesting. It's like Uzair, when he woke up, because he had his donkey with him, right?
Mm.
And he was like, look at your donkey. So his donkey was bones.
Mm.
And then the body started coming back in pieces, like they reconstructed like in a movie scene in front of Uzair.
Yeah.
Because Uzair said, it's like, how is it possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he was questioning before he died, how Allah bring this entire city that was corrupted and destroyed back to life? And Allah says, look at your food, look at your donkey, and look how we're going to bring him back. So he was observing the process of things coming back to life. So to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's a...
But in fast motion, I guess, not in slow motion.
Fast motion, slow motion, I don't know. But it depends on how Uzair was comprehending it. But Allah saying, we can always do that. Bring things back because we are the creators. I can destroy something, I can build it back. I am the creator.
Yes.
You find that hard to believe because you're not a creator.
Yeah, exactly.
Simple as that. So the Quran, like I said, if we have to go through tafsir mawdu'i, as we say, by subject, we can bring all these verses where Allah explains how. And then we can discuss that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we need to talk about that, but we have to promise our dear audience to follow up the discussions in this program, Quran Quest, on IRIB English Radio. Unfortunately, we have come to the end of this episode, and we bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Quran Quest, the program that answers your Quranic questions.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
Good day to all of our listeners. This is Iran Radio. This is nice to have you with us. I'm your host for the next hour. We'll start off this hour's programs with our news bulletin that will be followed by Islamic upbringing. The program aims to answer frequently asked questions regarding children and adolescents and their upbringing. Our radio productions feature will be our final program this hour. Stay with us.
It's too late. If you haven't spoken up yet, it might be too late for you. This is your call to say something and not let history judge you for what you should have done.
There once was a day when we were shadows in the street, paper-thin excuses crumbling at our feet. Screens glowed brightly, selling fear and doubt. The truth bled quietly, seldom spoken out. But today it's on the news again that the Zionist entity has murdered Palestinians and burned their city. Savagery is in their blood, genocide their game. The world is watching live as they enter the hall of shame. Don't they see nations waking up? Don't they see people rising up? Don't they see that we won't bow? It's too late to stop us now. It's too late to stop us now. It's too late. Can't you see the land is breaking? It's too late. Can't you see the children dying? It's too late. Let's not be judged by history. Should have done to save humanity. It's too late. Oh, it's too late. Oh, it's too late. America gives the go-ahead, then it sends in bombs. Israel calls it self-defense and murders without qualms. Since when has killing children become a source of pride? Silence must be broken if you want to turn the tide. It's time we made the right choice. Our lives may be on the line. It's time we raised our voice, chanting free, free Palestine. The police can do what they want to do, detain one or two. The thousands of millions are coming through, a move they cannot undo. Don't they see nations waking up? Don't they see people rising up? Don't they see that we won't bow? It's too late to stop us now. It's too late to stop us now. It's too late. Can't you see the land is breaking? It's too late. Can't you see the children dying? It's too late. Let's not be judged by history for what we should have done to save humanity. It's too late.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
As a reminder of our top stories, the leader of the Islamic Revolution says the Iranian nation defeated both the US and Israel in the 12-day war as they reached none of their objectives. Tehran has strongly condemned the violence against Palestinians in the West Bank, saying Israeli crimes should be recognized as crimes against humanity. And at least 13 people have been killed in Israeli attacks in the town of Beit Jin near Syria's capital, Damascus. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, I am Bahman Nuray, and this is news. The leader of the Islamic Revolution has dismissed rumors that Tehran has sent messages to Washington seeking dialogue, stressing that the United States is unworthy of Iran's cooperation. Ayatollah Khamenei also recalled the 12-day imposed war in Iran in June, noting that the Iranian nation defeated